Hello and welcome to St. Paul's United Methodist Church's Sermon Podcast. I'm Pastor Mike Agnew and I'm glad you're listening. If you want to check us out in person, we have Sunday school at 9 o'clock and worship at 10:10, and we are located at 531 West Main in Cherokee. If you want to check us out on our website, that's CherokeeMethodist.com. You can find the bulletin, a year's worth of newsletters. You can learn about events that are going on, and you can also link to our YouTube page where you can watch live or recorded services. Now, today is the second Sunday of Lent, depending on when you're listening to this, and we're beginning a new sermon series for Lent in which we're focusing on some of the different parables of Jesus. Now, parables are stories that Jesus told to help people understand what it means to live as a citizen of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. He used those words interchangeably. But we get confused sometimes when we hear terms like kingdom of heaven, and we sometimes assume that Jesus is talking about heaven, but he's not. In fact, Jesus rarely talks about heaven because he's primarily concerned with what we do in this life. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is in our midst and among us, so don't go looking for it and saying it here it is or there it is, for the kingdom of heaven is among you. Now, as I said, these terms, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, are interchangeable, and they refer to what it means to live life right now as a citizen of heaven. For the Bible people, it wasn't as a citizen of Rome. It's not as a citizen of America for us, but what does it mean to live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, which is where our most true citizenship resides and where our truest loyalty must always be? That's why Jesus' parables are about daily living. It's why he'll say, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he'll start talking about everyday things that seem to have nothing to do with heaven. And that's because they don't. They have to do with living life now. And you are living as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven when you live like Christ. All right. Now, today's parable, like many, is an agricultural parable. In it, he says, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a farmer who planted good seed in the field. And at night, an enemy also planted bad seed, so that in the morning, lo and behold, he had wheat and weeds. And someone asks him if they should pull out the weeds, but the farmer says, no, they may cause more harm than good. Instead, let them grow together, and then at harvest, they'll be separated and dealt with. Pretty straightforward story, isn't it? Pretty short. But what does it mean? Well, sometimes we are left to guess because the scriptures oftentimes do not tell us the meaning of parables, but this is one of the few instances where we actually get the explanation. So that we're in for a treat here. He says, the planter is God and the field is the world. And the good seeds are the followers of God and the weeds are those who follow the evil one. And the harvest is at the end of the age when the angels gather up and separate the good people from the bad people. And continuing with his metaphor of weeds that are burned up, he says the evil people will metaphorically be placed in a furnace for burning. All right, now, I like this parable. I really do. You know why? Because I don't like weeding. I don't. I mean, how many of you like pulling weeds? Maybe if you consider it a meditative activity and it's a really nice day out, but not me. I just don't like doing it. And it seems like the job is never done because no matter how much you pull, more will only come in their place. You just can't get rid of them for too long. Now, sometimes you can pull weeds in certain situations and it's important to, right? In a flower bed, it's pretty easy to do that without causing too much damage. But in other cases, like a wheat field, before modern technologies, of course, it wasn't easy to do. And sometimes, quite frankly, it's not easy to do in a flower bed either without causing harm. I have been known in the past to have accidentally pulled up a plant or two, thinking that they looked like a weed. Oops. Some weeding is necessary, but in some occasions it can do more harm than good. And I think that this parable gives us a good, realistic view of the world we live in and also convicts us of our own tendencies to cause more harm than good in our quest to eradicate evil. So first of all, this parable gives us a good, realistic view of the world. The world our families, our churches, you name it. Our world is filled with good and bad. I mean, we know that, right? There are lots of good people. There are also lots of not so good people in all kinds of places. And making it even more complicated, all of us really have some good and some bad in us. The line between good and evil doesn't run between us and them. As nice as it would be to say that to solve the world's problems, we just need to banish all the bad people to an island, that would not solve the problem because the line between good and evil runs within all of us. I mean, who decides who is good and who is evil? How good is good enough to be considered good crop? And how bad is bad enough to be considered a weed? However you answer that question, this parable gives us a realistic view of the world, that there's a lot of good in it and a lot of bad. Secondly, this parable convicts us of our nature to want to try to pull weeds anyway. Too many of us Christians are more than happy to go weeding. We are pretty confident we know where the weeds are, what they look like, and we're more than happy to start pulling, regardless of the damage it may cause. We have a tendency to want to draw lines and make people choose sides when it's unneeded, and to say who is in and who is out, based on things that do not strike at the core of our faith. We saw this a lot in the last year as United Methodist churches, many of them, many congregations in our conference, became convinced that they needed to vote on a divisive issue that certainly did not strike at the core of their faith in Jesus. And in so doing, people were forced to pick sides, which inevitably led to them picking sides against one another, which inevitably caused harm, hurt people, and resulted in the division and diminishment of many church congregations. This has happened often in church history. Each time, there was a different issue that seemed like a life or death issue at the time. Meanwhile, the witness of the church is all the more diminished in the world at large because we are more interested in pulling weeds than planting seeds. And again, who decides what looks like a weed? How often have people pulled up what they thought was a weed, never realizing that they actually snuffed the life out of a flower? And it's not just in the church, but it's in our society as well in America. This polarization in America is reaching catastrophic levels. It's gotten to the point to where anyone who doesn't agree with someone else on everything starts to look like a weed. And sometimes, quite frankly, it's hard to tell the difference between the polarization of our culture versus the church, because for so many people, their political identity has become entangled with their Christian identity, and they assume that if you're a real Christian, you must have certain political positions pertaining to American politics, which is really strange, considering that the kingdom of heaven is a worldwide kingdom. But too many Christians in America get caught up in fighting the culture wars, as though the kingdom of God were dependent upon what the nation of America does, when in reality, the kingdom of God is bigger than any one nation in the myriad of nations that have had their turn ruling in the history of our world. God doesn't need us to pull weeds, especially because we assume we are good weed spotting experts, but often end up just harming the crop and the witness of the church gets tarnished as a result. It's indeed that this is what has happened in America, because outside public perception of evangelicals in America is at its lowest in recorded history. And it's not Jesus that needs a makeover. I mean, people still like Jesus, right? But it's not Jesus that needs a makeover. It's the church. Because when we spend our time focused on pulling weeds, we move further and further away from the way of Jesus. You see, Jesus was not a fan of pulling weeds either. He understood something very basic about human nature, and that is that not only is it too easy to cause harm in the process of pulling weeds, but oftentimes the weeds and crop are so entangled that it's hard to tell where one ends and the other begins. In other words, Jesus understands that we are all made in the image of God, we're his crop, and we all have our own weeds, sin. And he is far more interested in redeeming than pulling and throwing. That's why in the scripture it says it's the sick who need a doctor, not the healthy. Now, the Pharisees, they were interested in weed pulling. Coincidentally, I don't think it's a coincidence. Jesus' harshest words were for them. Now, hear me out. I am not saying that this parable is a call to ignore injustice or violence or evil in the world. It's not a call to be a doormat and to let other people get hurt. We are to stand up for justice while also advocating for peace, love, compassion, and grace, and modeling that in our own lives. Leave the weed pulling and the separating to God. You know, we do not know exactly how he'll do it or what it'll look like, but this parable makes it pretty clear that he will. And so it's comforting to know that the one who will be doing this work is the one who created us, the one who considers us his children, the one who would rather die on the cross to show us his grace than to destroy us. So, okay, if God's going to do that, then what's our job? Well, our job is to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love others as ourselves. That's it. That's it, folks. That's the method by which we change the world, not by using the Bible as a weapon of condemnation or using any kind of power to force others to conform to our ways. No. One is the way of the Pharisee and one is the way of Christ. There's a pastor, Reverend Benjamin Cramer, who once wrote, Christianity should sound like, I am committed to deepening my love for others and seeking their best. Christianity should not look like, I am obsessed with how others are not conforming to my own personal beliefs, and I must make them do so by any means necessary. See, like I said, one is the way of the Pharisee, one is the way of Christ. I've also heard it said before, and I like this, a quote from God saying, I'll sort them out later. And really, honestly, folks, that should be music to our ears. Thank goodness God will take care of the sorting so we don't have to. Good news, folks. You don't have to pull weeds any longer. God will take care of them however he feels best. What a weight off the shoulders. We don't have to single-handedly save the world or make it Christian. We don't have to win the culture wars. All we have to do is love God and love others. So let the love you receive from God be evident in the way you treat others. And in so doing, you fulfill the kingdom of call. Praise God. Amen. God bless and have a great week.